This is the Truth Network.
The heart of every man craves a great adventure, but life doesn't usually feel that way. Jesus speaks of narrow gates and wide roads, but the masculine journey is filled with many twists and turns. So how do we keep from losing heart while trying to find the good way when life feels more like a losing battle than something worth dying for? Grab your gear and come on a quest with your band of brothers who will serve as the guides in what we call the masculine journey. The masculine journey starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey, and we're glad you're back with us this week. And we have paid Sam to go on a vacation. We paid him no attention like we normally do. So, and we are going to have another topic, and I happen to be hosting, and it happens to be my topic, and we'll probably play my clip first. So,
is it your birthday too, or something?
It's Danny's. Well, if we wait a couple months, you know, maybe we can get. I can do birthday year. You know what I mean? I will have a birthday this year. Does that count? So,
yeah, that we'll go.
Okay, yeah, we can run with that. So, anyway, we have a topic this week, and it's something's been on my heart for a little while. We were kind of in a nomad state for a few months. We were going to relocate back to Asheboro, and then we weren't. Then we were, and then, you know, really didn't feel like I had a home because had our home on the market, and anytime I'd stay there, they won't mess anything up because then I'd have to clean it up and somebody might come look at it. So it was kind of like an Airbnb that I was paying a huge mortgage on and hadn't really settled into the place in Asheboro. So, and we were kind of between churches, between homes, you know, and I did have the same job and hung out with you guys. But in that process, I got to think about what home was. And, you know, I jotted a few things down and was just thinking about it. And you know, God laid some things on my heart. And so we're going to talk about home tonight. And you know, my thoughts behind it, well, you know, growing up as a child, you know, most of us had, you know, if we had a decent childhood, that was home. It was a place of security at somebody else's expense. Because, Andy, I don't remember thinking, man, I wonder if there'll be groceries in the house this week. Mom usually wondered that because she had two boys and we ate like horses. You couldn't tell it, but you know, but that was home.
Why do you say that, Danny? Could you not gain any weight back in the day?
No, I was like 125 pounds of whistling. You know, had to run around to get wet in the rain.
Spending a little overtime on it now, though, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
making up for lost time.
You caught up.
I've told y'all. Yeah, yeah. I was a curly-haired, skinny boy, and I've overcome both of those things. I am an overcomer, Jim. But you know, thinking about those things, there was a security and a place that you were just, you didn't have to put up with anything else. Yeah, I remember Dad telling us that, son, home is where you don't have to put up with anything else. Anybody, this is your castle. And you know, then you go forth and you turn 18 or whatever, and they say, get out. We're not feeding you anymore or whatever they do. And, you know, you go create a home of your own with a wife and, you know, children or whatever. And we'll talk about it a little bit. You know, family becomes that. That's where home is. It's where family is. And, you know, and then there's the spiritual aspect of it. You know, home is heaven. Home is uninhibited, I think, is the word I'm looking for. I ain't like Jim and Harold are using big words. You know, you get beyond uh-oh, and I'm lost. But heaven is home. It's that total union with God. And, you know, I've had a few friends, my buddy Chuck Powers, and then as early as Sunday, my good friend Pastor Wayne Eller have gone home. And you know, in that process, you know, you used to say, well, we lost them today. Well, no, we didn't lose them. We're just going to see them a little while later. Mm-hmm. But they're home. They've completed their journey and they made it home. The mission on earth, as we were talking about right before the show, mm-hmm. This dirt is over. And so they're home. And, you know, there's all kinds of different aspects of that. And, you know, I think it'll be an interesting show, and we're going to take off with a clip. And this clip is from Apollo 13, and the clip is the families are watching because these guys are pretty much stranded in space and they're trying to get a plan to get them home. And they're showing an interview of Tom Hanks with the guy. The guy's asking him about his travels and has there any been a time, you know, where he's had some troubles or whatever. And he tells this very cool story. Uh-huh. And pay attention to what he says at the end of the clip, and then we can talk about it on the backside.
Apollo 13 Commander Jim Lovell has more time in space, almost 24 days already, than any other man. And I asked him recently if he ever was scared.
Oh, well, I've had an engine flame out a few times in an aircraft and was kind of curious as to whether it was going to light up again, things of that nature. But they seem to work out.
Is there a specific instance in an airplane emergency when you can recall fear?
Well, I tell you, I remember this one time I'm in a Banshee at night in combat condition, so there's no running lights on the carrier. It was the Shangri-La when we were in the Sea of Japan, and my radar had jammed, and my homing signal was gone because somebody in Japan was actually using the same frequency, and so it was leading me away from where I was supposed to be. And I'm looking down at a big black ocean, so I flip on my map light, and then suddenly, zap, everything shorts out right there in my cockpit. All my instruments are gone, my lights are gone, and I can't even tell now what my altitude is. I know I'm running out of fuel, so I'm thinking about ditching in the ocean, and I look down there, and then in the darkness, there's this green trail. It's like a long carpet that's just laid out right beneath me, and it was the algae, right? It was that phosphorescent stuff that gets churned up in the wake of a big ship, and it was just leading me home. Now, if my cockpit lights hadn't shorted out, there's no way I'd have ever been able to see that. So, you never know what events are going to transpire to get you home.
You never know what events are going to transpire to get you home. Because, and that's the reality of life, I think, is that, you know, Jesus is trying to get us home. And, boys, he's got a job cut out for us, you know. And so, but, you know, I love that clip. I love, you know, because what he's describing is panic would have set in if Marsh would have been the pilot of that thing. That, you know, the lights are going out, you know, on the same signal with somebody else, and, you know, just my luck. But what he describes is somewhat of a miracle. And so, you know, that's home. That got him home. That got him, you know, God sent him a trail. And Harold, I believe you said you have actually seen that in the air like that.
Yeah, we were flying over to Europe, and so we were up at altitude, and I looked down and saw that trail, and I had no idea that there would be something like that, and it lasted for so long because the ship was pretty much out of sight. So I know it had been there for a good while, and it was just, like he said, it was like looking at a highway line.
Wow.
Out in the ocean. It's pretty amazing.
That's pretty good. You know, there are so many things that, you know, things happen and you wonder at that moment, why is this happening? And then the fluorescent trail lights up and all you do is follow it home. Mm-hmm. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, the whole point about his shorting out of his compartment lights, you know, to be able to see it. Yeah, yep. He wouldn't have been able to do it. So it was timely too, and that's the way God works, you know. There's a combination of things, right?
Yeah. Quick thing, you know, back several years and years ago, there were so many things that happened. My grandfather passed away, and my ex-wife had taken my daughter up to New York, and so there was my cockpit lights had went out. And I had lost my way, to be honest, and that kind of thing. But I found out later that there was so much that I didn't know, but it was God trying to get me home, because those events transpired, and later on they became very important to me. And, you know, because I was, you know, singing the sad song, why is this going to happen to me, and that kind of thing. And I remember my grandmother saying that it was a good thing that Grandpa died when he did, because it would have broke his heart to see not be able to see that little girl. Because, you know, my daughter was his great grandchild, but boy, that was his favorite. And so, you never know what's going on. So, the Rodney, you got anything you want to share?
Sure, get me a microphone over here. So, I started thinking about this a little bit, and I was just kind of interested in what do I think about when I think about home, and just kind of going through everything where you have so much that you're looking to either do or to have, and that's one of the things that I wanted to make sure I stayed away from, but there are so many wonderful memories of growing up in your home. And my mom still lives in the same house we've lived in since I was 5 years old. And I love it. I think that's great. Being in that neighborhood, going home, I know where everybody lives. I know, you know, where they, at least where they used to live, you know, because everybody's kind of moved since then. But so many friends and family and things like that, that just brings back great memories of whether it was Christmas time or Thanksgiving or things like that, or birthdays of me or other people. It's just, there's a lot of memories that come in that are wonderful. But again, the saddest part about thinking about all that is, wow, I was never a believer. You know, I didn't become a believer until like 45, 46 years old. And finally it's like, oh, this, my whole life changed at that point of coming to the realization that there is God and he is in control, and just thanking him for calling me at that point in time, because, you know, I was lost, and just bringing me into his world. It was wonderful to be able to go through that and be able to now do things where I can share my experience and my faith with other people, with doing other things, being in a great church where you get other believers and you get to experience your faith together and do all these kind of things where it's just wonderful to live out that kind of life. And to be able to do that, and like this radio show with all the men here tonight, you know, we have many men now that are a part of the show and doing things and not doing things. It's just a great time to be able to share what we are doing with each other. And we get to do that, you know, each and every week. And I think it's just wonderful.
I was going to bounce off of something you said earlier about feeling it was safe to go home. I pushed the limits when I was a young boy, as most boys do. I didn't always feel safe going home because I lived in a community where I'd be in trouble before I got home. But I had unconditional love at home.
All right, we'll see you after the break. What we have at our boot camp is something that makes you stronger and gives you the strength to go on your regular walk with God. It's something that will make you be bigger than you were when you got there.
I listened to her Morgan Snyder's book, Driving to Work, last year, and that was a very profound experience. So this kind of culminated into it. I'd been invited to it several times, and just it never worked out, and God really had it set up that I came last time. So coming into this one, I knew this one went deeper, and I really wanted it. It's a break for me to get outside of things I've got going on, and I just needed a break from it and needed to reconnect, and it's been absolutely that, this process. The Covenant of Silence, Silent Prayer, those are some of my favorite parts. This is real connection with the Lord. You can hear him speak, you can get direction, guidance, anything you're missing is there. You always learn something new. It's fun experiencing it with the other men. It's fun standing for them and what they're going through. We're all different and unique, but we're all going through the same struggle. And when you hear somebody else went through it too, it kind of gives you an encouragement that, hey, you can make it through this, and God's got you, and he's going to hold you up through it, and he's going to carry you to the next level.
Register today at masculinejourney.org.
Just for me. That was Chris Daughtry, and one reason I chose that was he's a homeboy. Mm-hmm. He's from North Carolina, right around Greensboro. And, you know, the song is great. I'm pretty sure, as we discussed in the pre-show, he was singing to a girl, but which a lot of our bumps end up that way.
But he is a Christian.
And he is. And, you know, but the phrases that he used in that is, you know, I'm coming home or I'm going home, and I don't regret the life that's been given to me. And, you know, you can look back, and, I mean, I've had a pretty checkered past, and I probably have made a mistake or two, Harold, this day. But I don't regret my life anymore. I don't regret and just hide in shame of the addiction. Could have done it better, Rodney? Yeah, probably so. But the things and the gifts that God has made out of it has brought me home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel about as comfortable anywhere I go as I ever have. Which, if you'd have known me when I was skinny, curly-haired boy, that was not the case. And so, but, you know, that's home. You know, I'm home amongst you guys because home is kind of the place where you, if you catch me at home on a Sunday afternoon, I'm probably going to be in sweatpants and a T-shirt, kick back in the recliner, and if you show up at the house, I'm going to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be comfortable and probably have a corgi on my lap more than likely. Yeah. But that's home, and that's kind of what that meant to me. And so, Andy, you have the next clip.
So wasn't sure what to use, but I got to thinking about just some of the scenes of some of the, you know, the epic movies or whatever we watch for boot camp and stuff. And, you know, you've got these guys, a lot of them, or war type of movies, and obviously these guys are off war, fighting war, so people can have their safe home, but they all want to go home. I mean, I don't know there's many guys out there on the battlefield that says I want to stay out here forever. You know, they want to go home. And so this is about Saving Private Ryan is the movie, and it's from the D-Day experience. You got a group that hit the beaches, and this is a unit that's actually moving, and they've completed their mission, and then they've given another mission to go find this guy, Private Ryan, who's lost three brothers, and the military brass don't want to see a fourth one die, so they went to rescue him. And all these guys that are with him, this Captain John Miller is leading them, but these guys under him are kind of a rough group, and they all have different ideas of what they should be doing. They can't believe that they're having to go save this guy instead of just fighting. So they're in a situation to where they take on another mission on the way there, and one of their guys gets killed, and then the German that killed them, they're trying to debate whether they should kill him. And you've got this chaos going on. And so then there's all along Captain John Miller, everybody wants to know what he does for a living and all that, and he won't share it with them. Well, they start doing a kind of like a lottery or whatever, or a pool on, and the money keeps going up the longer it goes. So we find him here in that situation. You'll see what he does to shift the chaos that they're in, but he gets into talking about what home means to him and his desire to get back there. We'll talk about it after we get back.
Are you letting this happen?
What? What's the pool on me up to right now? What's it up to? What is it, $300? Is that it? $300? I'm a school teacher. I teach English composition in this little town called Abley, Pennsylvania. In the last 11 years, I've been at Thomas Alva Edison High School. I was a coach of the baseball team in the springtime. Back home, and I tell people what I do for a living, and they think, well, now that figures. But over here, it's a big mystery. So I guess I've changed some. Sometimes I wonder if I've changed so much, my wife is even going to recognize me whenever it is I get back to her, and how I'll ever be able to tell her about days like today. Ryan, I don't know anything about Ryan. I don't care. man means nothing to me. It's just a name. But if, you know, if going to Rommel and finding him so he can go home, if that earns me the right to get back to my wife, well, then that's my mission. You want to leave? You want to go off and fight the war? All right. All right, I won't stop you. I'll even put in the paperwork. I just know that every man I kill, the farther away from home I feel.
So you hear that if every man he kills, the farther he feels from home, and he wants to get back there to that place that you're not warring. I mean, they had an opportunity to take this guy out, and they didn't. They didn't want to do it. He didn't want to be a part of a needless killing of this prisoner. And, again, that takes him away from what home is, a place of peace, a place of who he is and knows what kind of man he is. But I guess the thing I was trying to make about the point of this is that we are all in a battle, and I wanted to live life of just being at home for the longest time, not engaging in the war. And we have to engage in the battle. But we also always have to – I mean, David went off to fight in the spring, but he didn't stay out there on the battlefield. You have to come home. You have to retreat. You have to get back to your family, and that's what energizes. And it's the same with the Lord. That's what we're doing every day when we spend time with him, right? That's what Jesus did when he went to the Father. He was battling all day, but he went to the Father and he found his place, his home with the Father. He says he goes and prepares a place for us where we may be also there with him. And you know, that we have that on this side of heaven. You know, he said he'd never leave us or forsake us. So you've got the spiritual aspect. To your point, Danny, about going home. I mean, I grew up in Missouri, and I've recently started going back there, and I've always done that. But recently I'm going back, and I'll go, and I'll drive those roads as I did as a kid, and the memories just flood back of what it was like. And I believe that that's healing to the soul, because, first of all, you've got to appreciate and embrace the home you've been given, the family you've been given, and to kind of avoided it. We were pretty darn dysfunctional all through my life, and there's a lot of pain and hurt there. But I also have to trust that the family that I was intended to be in, that I, you know, in the where I was born, there was a purpose for that. And whereas I kind of used to avoid it because there was some pain there, now I step into it, and God's done some amazing things there. So that's what I got.
That was another Tom Hanks. We had a hankering for Tom Hanks movies.
Yeah, we did.
I guess.
Yeah, hankering for home.
Yeah, hankering for home. So we got a little bit of time. You got something you want to share, Grant?
Yeah, that's called love. Yep. A home is a place of love.
It is.
Personal love.
Yep.
Something that did bring to mind, though, is it can also be a battlefield.
Yeah.
Retirement is... changed our situation mm-hmm. to seeing each other mm-hmm. an hour or three a day to seeing each other most of our waking hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been an adjustment, but it's an adjustment you make in
sure.
love. So
absolutely. Yeah.
If you've got that, then the battle's worth fighting.
Yep.
There's been a saying that you can't return home. And yeah, you can. But it may not be what you thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I lived the first 12 years of my life were pretty much lived in my maternal grandmother's house. And after not having seen that house for, gosh, over 40 years, we were back that way. And what I had thought was a really big house was not. I was amazed at actually how small it was compared to what I remembered it being. So you can't always trust your memory, especially if they're formed when you're young.
I always tell everybody I got a good memory. It's just short. Yeah. So,
I don't have many short memories.
Well, something for me too along that lines. I moved up to Boone, and that became my home for the last 7-8 years. And man, I've fallen in with love with the nature and that place up there God, I've met him. I mean, I've told people when it's burning up down here in the Triad and I drive up that mountain and it's 70 degrees and low humidity, I just smile. There's a part of it. But I think part of finding your place in this world is you can make that home wherever. Jesus said, foxes have holes. What is it? Somebody help me out here. Foxes have holes, birds have a nest, but I have no
home. But he has nowhere to lay his head.
He has nowhere to lay his head. But he knew. He knew where he was with God, the Father, and he had that home. And I'm looking forward to eventually moving back here to the Triad. Family, friends are here. But there is something to be said for wherever God puts you to be
contented
with
that. Which is a great segue into my clip, except we may not have time.
Yeah,
now.
We'll probably
we'll
be
have
doing
time at this point.
Yeah.
We'll get it.
You wander, you.
The you reminded me of something real quick that, you know, when my grandmother, I grew up a quarter mile away from my grandmother's house.
Yeah.
So, and I was grandma's favorite because I lived right there. I was there all the time. I was either her favorite or she just couldn't get rid of me. I'm not sure. But I remember when she passed away, I was, you know, this had been 7-8 years ago. And mom said, if you want anything of your grandmother's, you can go out there and get it. Yeah. And wander around the house. And I realized what I want is not here.
Yeah.
I wanted some homemade chicken and dumplings made with love, Robbie. Those, oh my God, those things are good. And I wanted those things, but it wasn't there. It was no longer a home. It was just an old house. But what has happened is some people have bought that house, and they moved in from up north, and we were kind of skeptical about that. I won't get into all that. But, you know, they've made it a home again.
Yeah.
And there's some mighty fine cooking comes out of the house now. And they feed Dad pretty good and that kind of thing. But it is a home again is my point.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is wherever you make home.
Wherever
you so, make home. So, yeah, we got a boot camp coming up March 13th through 16th.
Yep.
And we're going to be in
Royston, Georgia.
Royston, Georgia.
Camp Little Life.
So you have to look it up like I do. Yeah. And But come join us. You can go to masculinejourney.org and register and get more information, or you can email us at any of our names, danny@masculinejourney.org, or any of the rest of us. But we'll see you next week.
This is the Truth Network.